Sun Ra, born apparently on May 22nd, 1914. It passed on May 30th, 1993. He was a jazz musician. Did he come from Saturn and not really born here, so to speak, whatever he meant that he came from Saturn?
He did come from Saturn.
So he was in the category of Beefheart and Gurdjieff, someone coming from the future, something like that?
No, he really came from Saturn.
Are there beings living on Saturn?
Well, of course.
So he was an E.T., we would say.
Most of your humans that you look at now are E.T.
Extraterrestrial.
Yes, you come from the Gulf. The Gulf's not here, so you're extraterrestrial.
So what does it mean that he came from Saturn? Was he born of a woman on this planet?
No.
He just showed up as a young man?
No, he showed up as a baby, but not normally born.
And how was he found? Where was the baby, where did it show up?
Very close to his mother.
Did she know?
He was adopted, and she didn't know where he was from.
So he was adopted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what your paperwork says, because you're looking for a reason.
Did the mother know that he arrived not through adoption?
He did arrive to her by adoption, so that's what she knew.
Right, but she didn't know where he was before the adoption.
And happy to love that baby as her own, and he was.
And she adopted him because she wasn't able to have children herself?
Nope, she adopted him because something drew her to this special child.
And where did she find the baby?
Not through an adoption agency. It was through a, what you call, they called them something different then, but your world would be like an orphanage. I don't even think they have that anymore, but, you know, it's like when children, someone has a baby and they can't have it or for shame or whatever problem.
Yeah, it's like
give it to the orphanage.
Yeah, it's like a 40s Spencer Tracy movie, you know, someone go to an orphanage where a bunch of babies were dropped off and they pick one.
Yeah, where the hard knock life is with Annie.
Now, how did he manifest in the orphanage? Did any human put him there, or did he just manifest, just appear?
He just showed up at the orphanage.
Someone laid it there.
No, Bob, he just showed up at the orphanage.
But he couldn't walk yet.
Well, he didn't walk from Saturn anyway.
So he just manifested on the doorstep.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. What was his experiment and purpose in doing this? Why was he here? Why did he come here from Saturn?
Because he wanted to enjoy the deliciousness of this experience.
How did he find out that he was from Saturn? Did he know it?
He knew it.
Earliest, and so he eventually probably announced it to his mother, his adopted mother.
Probably.
And she, do you know if she accepted it?
He didn't care if she accepted it.
Yeah. So he's always said it, he's always known it, and it's true.
Of course. It's true as those Snicker bars in your freezer.
Did he go in the Guff when he passed on?
Well, we just say yes, but it's qualified a bit.
Because he came from Saturn.
Correct.
There's another factor of consciousness.
But the simple, easy answer that then sends you down a spiraling path of destruction is just to say yes and leave it alone.
When you say go down a path of destruction, it would take a lot of...
If we explained it thoroughly, you'd be confused, and then you'd be undone, and then you'd be, wait a second.
That may be totally true. You might know me better than myself, but you're talking about the strain on my rules, on my mind's rules.
No, when you go back to this next May,
yeah,
you're going to sift through every single word. So it's easier just to answer your question from your asking.
I was going to say, give me the story and see if I can feel the strain on my mind.
You won't now. It won't happen now. You'll just say, okay. And if you can get it, get it. If you don't, you don't. But when you go back through it, that's what you're going to use as your determining resonance factor, is when you sift through words.
Could I ask Ion to spell out what happened?
The close? No, you can keep going and keep on going with a flow of a cadence with your questions that you're going with, and we'll answer them straight out. No question, no problem. But then we don't set this whole precedence up of a disconnection, which we've just done. And just sort
said,
we want this upcoming experience that you're going to go through next May to be an, oh, we don't want it to be, wait a minute, I'm more confused than ever. So that's the only reason we're being temperamental here.
Okay, so that's interesting that he was from Saturn. He knew it and he lived it. And when he passed on May 30th, 1993, did they find a corpse? Whoever found him and pronounced him dead, did they find a corpse?
Yes. And he did indeed. He finally ended up in the Gulf, but he went in a detoured path to arrive at the Gulf.
His musicians, some people say he ran a cult. He's very,
well,
very good musicians, and musicians were part of his commune and lived with him. Did they realize he did come from Saturn? Did they learn things from him?
Sure.
That made them to accept that or to...
Sure. You're still talking about him now.
Did he do anything dramatic for his commune, for his musicians, as he passed on?
No.
That he just appeared dead. And, you know, the coroner said, yep, there is non-physical because his body ain't moving.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything Sun Ra would like to say to me? I met him. Carol and I did acupuncture in one of his musicians in 1978 in Toronto. So can we have a communication from Sun Ra to us?
Yes.
Sun Ra, what do you think of my musical composition I'm creating with Ion?
It is very extreme from your place of beginningness.
Yes, from where I started.
Mm-hmm.
But you were extreme in what you created. You appeared extreme in the 50s and 60s.
Yes, and they thought I had taken leave of my senses as they do you.
But we're fully confident we're on our path. There's no problem. And you were a good example.
As we were as well.
Yes, you were a good example. Can you, in your state now, recall meeting us in the Horseshoe Tavern? Or it's a living event for you right now, not in the past?
It's not really in the past because it became as timeless then as it is now. And so, yes.
Every moment is timeless, right?
Well, no, there is no time. So if you call it timeless, that means you have time to straighten it out. I've never been bound by time.
So then every moment resonates eternally.
Yes, that's kind of ethereal, but get it down to real life. You can enjoy every aspect of your beingness, of your life, as you draw energy from it. Because for you, it's all about the energy, and for me, it was all about the quest of energy.
You mean looking for energy?
No, not looking for. I knew where it was, but the quest was always energy.
Whereas for me, it's not a quest.
No. But you forget where you lay it.
But then I quest for it.
Yes, very good.
But there's a difference here. You quest for it.
Yes.
And I don't. Because I have the energy automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So did you use music to get to the energy place?
No, we used music to have a resonance, to resonate with other human creators because we were different. Otherwise, if we didn't have something, well, what you call a meme that others could attach to, then they would have probably done something very nasty to us.
And us is your group of merry people.
Yes,
merry
absolutely.
People.
Well, is that what you call it? We had fun. That's what we had.
So it was a cover, a red herring for having energy to create in. Okay. You went on a quest for energy, but that's not
yes.
why you played music.
Correct.
Did you find energy?
Certainly.
Every day?
Yes. This particular planet, unlike my home planet, the air itself is energized. There's more energy just ambient floating around than you in your present planet and state could ever consume if you used it all.
You mean
every time.
In Saturn, that's the way it is?
No, in Earth, that's the way it is.
Oh, okay. Why is it different in Saturn?
Because every molecule in our home place had to be almost distilled.
By what?
By us.
in your breathing or whatever you call it.
Well, yes, but where here you have just ambient molecules that can create worlds, there's almost what you call atmosphere. There is none. So every concept, every fleeting bit of energy had to be distilled. So it's so much easier here.
Is that due to the size of Saturn?
No.
What is it due to, the distilling?
The creators from that world.
Do they have two eyes, two nostrils, two legs when they're in Saturn?
Not the way you know it.
They have a different form.
They have a form very different than yours.
Were there many people in history who followed your path of coming here from another planet in our solar system and showing up, you know, as a baby? Was that something done by many entities or a few or only you?
We don't know what everyone else did.
But you passed back into the Saturn form when you transitioned from Earth. Went back into the Saturn form before you went to the Gulf.
We went into a formless state. We went into form in Saturn, and then we arrived because of our participation on this planet into your Gulf.
Saturn has a different Gulf?
Yes.
Okay.
The easiest way is just to say yes, but it's different. It's more its absorption in Saturn than it is going away from. Because you're further from the sun, you have less radiance. So therefore, you do much more absorbing than you do dividing.
The knowledge you just expressed about the difference between Saturn and Earth, are there many human beings who have learned this here in any culture?
Yes, they have, but as soon as you humans create something, you undo it just as quickly as you do it. You have a thought, you wrap yourself into a concept, and then you spend the rest of your days trying to undo it. So, yes.
That's the dividing aspect of our Earth plane.
Well, it's quite a dog and pony show. It becomes what you call a rat race.
And because of so much energy here.
That is correct. And it can just go and 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 go. Whereas the wasted consumption of energy here could run in the entire planet with 10 human beings.
In Saturn or here?
Saturn.
How do you see music changing, or what do you think of music as people perceive it? It's all over the place, all kinds of music.
Valium.
Valium is music? Oh, music
no.
is like Valium, yes.
Like Valium.
Yeah, we have a word, anodyne, A-N-O-D-Y-N-E, I think. Anesthetic. Were you confronted with that situation in your time in the 50s, 60s, or 70s? Was music here an anodyne in the 1950s, 1960s, 70s?
Certainly.
So it always was. So you definitely didn't want your music to be an anodyne.
Correct, and yet it almost was.
And why was that?
As it was becoming more and more and more and more in vogue, you didn't want to get too famous because we came here to enjoy and embrace the whole delicious aspect of Earth living. And then if we got bit by your fame conundrum, it would basically eliminate our possibility of choice in doing what we wanted to do.
So you were careful to keep the band away from the fame trap.
As we could, yes.
So you did become kind of famous.
Relatively so, but we didn't become a rat or a beetle or a
Frank Sinatra or
yeah, we're
Kiss.
Or
Kiss.
That.
Didn't become
or a
Kiss.
Kiss. That's correct. Or a Third Eye Blind. Or
very good. Okay, so what do you see yourself doing next? Or you wouldn't know, because it depends on the dipper coming into the Gulf and scooping you out.
No, we are completely complete.
So there may be elements of Sun Ra in future humans that appear here.
There absolutely could very well be and is.
Can you talk to Frank Zappa there in your situation in the Gulf?
No.
Doesn't happen that way there.
Good, but we
Were you aware of his music?
Yes, if that's what you call it.
You weren't interested in his music?
Well, he was trying to undo music.
Well, he was trying to make it the count of the anodyne.
Well, un-music, un-anodyne.
Well, it's music as, what was the word you first said? I call it anodyne, a drug, a anesthetic, a...
Valium.
Valium. Frank definitely was on the same motive as you to not make his music be Valium. You would agree there was some
correct
motive.
He wanted it to be a stimulant, cocaine.
He did?
Yes.
Where you wanted it as energy.
The energy. Melodious flow. Melodious flow that people in your human experience could align with, enjoy. It was a bit of energy, but it created and drew more energy than it expended. That's what's unusual about Earth. Earth loses the tiny bit of energy, and it blossoms and unfolds into just endless bliss.
So you were moving more with the motive of resonance with humans in your music, whereas Zappa was a junkie. He was looking to stimulate himself.
Yeah, himself, and if it stimulated everyone else, great, and if it didn't, he didn't care. But it was the more the anarchist regime rather than the making a powerful world that could be embraced. His was against. His was always sharps if everyone else was playing flats.
My personality, I understand from my own, I don't seem to care about much. That temperament in me, that part of myself, would resonate with his music because it sounds like a similar motive, right?
Mm-hmm.
A similar kind of indifference to the resonance among humans. Something like that is maybe why I would align with his music. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and why you could listen to the mamas and the papas, but it wasn't your favorite.
So I liked it, and I liked your music, but I don't think your music was my favorite. You know,
correct, and that's okay.
But I admired your, how you call it, your ideas, I guess.
Bravado to go out there and make it be. And that's why we loved our concerts, to go and go and go and go, because the energy was just amazing. Delicious. The longer we went, the better it got. The better we got, the longer we went.
And we caught you in 1970 when you went for a long time. Later years, you couldn't go as long.
The club didn't require it.
Oh, you didn't require it?
Right.
Because you could get it immediately for yourself?
Just strolling outside, you could get it.
You mean walking around?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it was in the earlier years, you need to go longer because you hadn't figured out how to access it as quickly.
No, we could access it, but we couldn't retain it. It would be gone. It would be like what you call, you lose the high.
Yeah.
Like that.
And so you would have to go a long time to retrieve it. You
get more and more and more and more and more because it didn't last as long as long as long as long as long. But then after a little bit of practice and through your spirit side and as an earthbound creature, you learn quickly how to pick up on it. And it was everywhere. It was everywhere.
Is there any jazz musicians or any musicians that you admired while you were here that you resonated, or were you only into creating your kind of sound?
No. We were very delighted with Al Jolson.
You would play
very? Never. We were delighted with it. We were delighted with Mama Cass. We were enthralled with this what you call rockabilly in those days before you had your rock and roll, but the rockabilly.
Hey, what was her name? Martha Jackson, Elvis's friend?
No, it was, that was
Wanda Jackson.
Yes, in those days, it was a new thing, and the new thing energized people. That was the point. It energized them. Well, that's all we were ever trying to do. So we watched those that had the capacity and ability to energize. And as that energizing took place, the energy just flowed and flowed and flowed. Then your disco days came along, and that just made them wild. It made them crazy. You didn't even even have to have music or a band. You could play vinyl and everybody rip their clothes off and dance and disco and go buy white leisure suits and dad scarves and get down. But the getting down is the energy that we sopped and spurt and did everything we could do to engage all we could.
Yeah, with your kind of music, you weren't going to play disco. You had to do it.
Correct.
But you knew.
But we watched all those different new things coming that made people go lose their senses. That when you had the Bugs, the Beatles.
Yeah, the Bugs.
They sang, and it was okay. I mean, it wasn't spectacular. It was kind of a crooner dynamic. We watch people fall down and cry and scream and holler and throw off their foundational garments and just kind of go ape, I guess would be your word.
Yeah.
Well, that energizing of that type of a reaction is energy flow at its very best. Reckless abandon. Well, when you get to reckless abandon, it flows like a mighty raging sea.
And you got more of that in the 20th century?
Yes.
So you liked the whole range of 20th century electrified music experience.
We liked the reaction. We didn't care so much for this. Most of the music sounded like you were killing something, but the flow of it was straight on. There is this another one that had the same kind of effect. The Bee Gees. Had the Gibbs, they had a great deal of panache as far as energy flow.
So you said, okay, we got to create that effect with our genre of what was called jazz.
Never. We just used what we saw. I used what I saw. It got those reactions and then played my own music and got even a more hipper crowd than they got in what you call just the rock junkies.
So you were looking for a certain audience?
Well, no, we were looking for any type. If you notice, the music changed over the years. As the crowds changed, then it got a little brighter. Because, see, you also had that window when all we really played was what you call blues.
Yes. And you're saying when the crowd got whiter?
Yes.
You said you were looking for a hipper audience. What would that be?
More energized, more... Flower children, they had a pure flow of energy.
Than the audience for the Bee Gees or the Beatles.
That's correct. That was more streamlined. It took more and more and more to get the reactionary energy that we were trying to sustain.
Now, who in your band understood that this is what you were doing? All members, or was there a core?
Tommy understood.
There was Patrick, or some name like that.
Yeah, Patty.
He understood.
Well, I mean, that's what I called him, because he was always patting everybody.
But Patty understood, didn't he?
Well, for him, it was all about the Benjamins, but he did understand.
But Tommy got it.
Tommy got it, and he understood the role. Once it began, we'd start. We got to our second crescendo. We either hit it or we didn't. And if we hit it, he knew. But the more it flowed, the more we could absorb. And when that second crescendo would come in a song or a piece or a flow, because our average piece of music was 13 minutes. And that was out of control in those days.
Yeah.
Because if it was more than 4 minutes, your radio stations wouldn't play it. See, I mean, because you'd have an LP that'd have 5 songs.
Yeah.
Well, nobody was going to give a buck and a quarter for 5 songs.
That's right. So, but that helped you not become, quote, famous.
Yes, but there was a certain clique that really, really got into it that could go beyond it. They could go beyond it, and then it just became like a quaalude. You see, a high.
What instrument did Tommy play?
He would change. He would play drums, and he would also play percussion.
Not any horns?
No.
No.
Patty played the horns.
Now, I think I was sunburned on the day you passed on. Was there any resonance there with me and you? I got sunburned. I thought we came home, Jerry and I and Carol, and it was a holiday weekend. I don't know, whatever that one is in May, Memorial Day weekend or whatever, came home, found out that you'd passed on, and I noticed I'd gotten a sunburn that day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a coincidence within my reality and nothing to do with you?
Probably not.
Just something, a pattern I make.
Well, yeah.
I mean, sun ra, sun ray. I got the sun when you really exited. You get extra powerful sun ray coming off you, maybe.
And sometimes it just chaps your ass.
Okay, well, thanks for making great music, and I'll try to hear more of it. I think we'll move on, and what do you think of Ion?
It is a very wonderful, plausible way to gain or refocus in your culture's energy again. It becomes a way to activate the energy. It makes the energy more. It increases that. It gets folks back into a place where they can be energized. Then all of a sudden you're going to draw more of folks like me, because this becomes, it's like a drug. It's like the highest high you could ever get, and it just gets better and better and better and better. You take for granted that which you have. You take the very best of you that is and throw it away. If you had nothing, you'd know how much you consume beyond you.
Me in particular, with Ion.
Well, humans.
Oh, okay, humans, right. In other words, it's a good counter to the Valium that most people are experiencing.
Well, you don't have to come off of this drug.
But a lot of people are relying on Valium metaphorically.
Well, you know, hey, and if you didn't trip out, acid's good. But see, the trip factor sends you down a path that you can't sustain. It's so much that it overdoes the sensory perception. But if you didn't have any sensory perception, all of a sudden it just became a way for it to flow. Energy.
What overcame sensory perception?
If you didn't have to come off the acid, or you didn't trip or come down,
yeah,
then you could do it all the time. Quaaludes are great, but you can't keep that pace up. After a while, you what you call crash and burn. Well, the crash and burn then sort of usurps the very thing you're trying to get by enjoying the psychedelic drug, psychotropic drug.
Now, this resonates with the point I was going to bring up earlier, and now again, is that I was wondering if doing Ion every day was altering my physical, non-physical relationship. And you're describing, yes, I'm on a drug here.
Well, you want more. And see, yeah. That's what's so interesting, because you started off as a house of fire, and then you were like getting lost in your own deliciousness, and you're like, I'm getting too much, I gotta slow down. So then you're like, I don't get it, I've gotta get it. Go stop the presses. And then all of a sudden you started listening again and going, oh, yeah, I remember that feeling. And the next thing you know, it's like, okay, I'm really having fun with this, but I want some fresh. I want some fresh. Let's
right.
play more. And then whole new worlds begin to open, because you realize that if you can find a way to ask the question, this person, Ion, lets you speak with whomever you like.
Like you. So that's quite a drug, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And it's like water. It's so pure and there's no effects. Just unfolding, I guess.
Like quenches your thirst.
And it's immortal. It's always there.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so thank you very much, Sun Ra. I'm going to move on to another topic. Very wise words from you. You're tuned in. You're welcome to the Ionic Movement.
Thank you very much.